It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Well, good morning, Citizen Lobbyist. How are you doing today?
I'm cold, Mike. It's a chilly week.
A chilly week. I noticed that. It looks like a lot of what we might call, minus weather. This is the first time this year we've endured this. And do you think it's had an impact on the way people are feeling or what they're doing?
Well, I'll tell you, there was a lot of warmth last night in the two meetings that I listened to for the Borough Assembly, which isn't always the case. And I was glad to see it. So you want to talk about those?
Let's talk about those two. And then we'll move over and talk a little bit about some upcoming events associated with the city of Palmer. That would be good. Okay.
That's good.
Take it away.
Well, at 5 o'clock, they kicked off a special election for one purpose, and that was to certify the election that took place earlier this month.
Right.
All members of the assembly were there in place, and Mayor-elect Edna DeVries gave the Pledge of Allegiance. The Canvas Board gave a normal report. You and I have heard dozens of these, Mike, over the years we've been doing this. Nothing really stood out. There started off with audience participation before that, and there were like nine people that were there to speak during audience participation, which is unusual for a Canvas Board, but it was really thanks mostly to Halter and Bovee there. I do think it's worth talking about the Canvas meeting a little bit here, just to point out a couple things. They pointed out there were 15,969 votes cast, 15,860 were counted, which was a 17.86% voter turnout for the borough.
Okay.
It was also the first municipality in the state that did early voting totally with the machine.
Wow.
So no first for them. And then really very minor things that came up during that. But some of the comments that the Canvas Board spoke for herself and the board at the very end, I thought warranted some repeating. And I'll paraphrase a little bit here. But she applauded both the Clerk McKechnie and her staff and how awesome they are, which I think we all agree is the case.
Right.
But her comment was that we must work together in an atmosphere of courtesy, respect, and civility. And perhaps there has never been a more important time for our neighbors all around the world to stand together for the common good of one another. I thought that was pretty powerful coming from the Canvas Board in these times, and I salute her for making that statement. So there was, after that, just a real quick certification of the election, and then the candidates that were successful, Ms. DeVries, Dee McKee, Mr. Sumner, who was reelected, and Ron Bernier for District 7 were all there to be sworn in. And that pretty much was it for the Canvas Board meeting.
Okay. All right. So things were successful. There's no opportunity here for recount, et cetera. The differences were enough. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Nope. So they went on to the regular meeting, a very short break in between the two meetings, and all members again were there. It was Mayor Halter's last meeting to run the assembly meeting. He dedicated the meeting to Carl Haberman,
wow.
Who recently passed away. He
right.
said, that he really worked hard to be at assembly meetings and to push for transparency and the voice of the people, and he thought that was well worth dedicating the meeting to. So that was
great. Yeah, I noticed that there was a recent article once again. Eugene Carl Abraham passed away some while ago, but there was a recent article in the paper that brought a number of people's attention to his work over time. And we did a Valley Edition about a month ago where we memorialized Eugene's work, and it's up on our website. But you're right, he was outstanding, a lighthouse in many ways. go for it.
Right. Then the mayor presented the borough seals to outgoing, termed out Assembly Member George McKee and Member Bovee, who it was their last meeting, as was Mr. Halter's. Mr. McKee, who usually is not short of words, was pretty short of words. He just said that it was a privilege and a pleasure to serve. Very, very little did he have to say. Manager Brown stepped up and gave him a specially made T-shirt with what he called McKeeisms on him. That was really pretty. It was a nice jolt of humor. Some of the things over the years that Mr. McKee has said, things like, beam me up, Scotty. Now listen, folks. This is like ants giving birth to elephants. Show me the money. I have a question for you. I called the question. We don't have a port. We have a dock. And who's paying for this? Are all printed on that T-shirt. So it was a nice moment. Everybody had a good chuckle out of it. Mr. McKee had a good sense of humor about it. Mr. Brown also had some words for Member Bovee and said that, with all due respect to all the Assembly members, he would be hard pressed to find anyone that worked harder for her community than Assembly Member Bovee, who served one term.
Right.
So there was a lot of presentations at that. Really, after that, there really wasn't a whole lot, Mike. There were quite a few people there to speak about something that was really not on the agenda. It had to do a little bit with an ordinance that they approved with a list of infrastructure projects. They're trying to get to that point on with the bond having passed and other projects that have been lingering around to get a real sort of a concise list together for sort of shovel ready, so to speak. If the infrastructure project money comes through, we don't really know at this point how much will come down to the borough particularly, but they want to be ready with a list that sort of the Assembly has approved, which will be sort of a moving target, really. But all these testifiers, I think there were 16 of them, came out about a project that DOT now has a 95% designed already, having to do with the Herman Shower Project. And I'm not real familiar with that area, Mike. It has something to do with Palmer Fishhook going through to Soapstone, but a lot of 5-acre parcels there, and there are people that are not happy that there's going to be a road in that area. So interesting testimony, really no action to be taken, but the Assembly members all got an ear full on that one.
Okay.
Other than that, there was something at the very end of the meeting having to do with something Mr. McKee had brought back about the wage of the mayor again. That has been sort of a moving target over the last few months, kind of hard to keep track of. But it was again punted because, lo and behold, the Salary and Emoluments Commission has met with some recommendations on salaries and emoluments for all bodies having to do with not just the mayor, but the planning commission, school board members, that sort of thing. So they're going to take that up later in December. I know I've served on that committee. You may have served back in years bygone, Mike. And it's a lot of work that those people do to come with recommendations, and they don't do it very often.
Right.
So that got kicked down the road, and everything just stays the way it is then. After that, Mike, really there wasn't anything particularly of interest. There was a project in the Big Lake area that the Assembly was being asked to award a contract for, and Mr. Tews objected. He didn't like the project and didn't think it was needed. It's very odd for a bid to go all the way through the bidding process and have a contractor bid on it and then have the Assembly not approve it. But in this case, he had the vote to not approve it, so it goes back, I guess, to the bidding process, or just doesn't get done.
So he objected and had the votes. Was it a close vote, or pretty much?
No.
Oh.
Nope. It was 3-4.
Okay.
Which is about what you would expect at this time.
Okay.
And the mayor, of course, probably isn't in a position to issue a veto. So.
Right. Right.
The project just is dead for now.
Yeah, because of his timing out, it would go on to his successor and beyond. So, right, I could see that happening. Okay,
so the very end of the meeting was really- really just talk about a remark from the assembly of, you know, just a lot of thank you for your service. But there are two remarks that you and I have talked about, Mike, one by Ms. Bovey from District 7, and then the mayor as he gave his final comments that I think were so worthwhile for everybody in the Valley to hear. And I know you're going to be talking about those in Valley Edition, but
right.
I would encourage people to be listening to those because very salient comments that really need to be listened to
okay.
for anybody.
Well, we'll take that up in Valley Edition, particularly by bringing in some people from both that area in the north and others to comment about what was said and the implications. This, just to tidy up here, this was the last meeting with all of these members in place. The next meeting in 2 weeks will have a new mayor, Edna DeVries, and all of the sworn-in assembly people sitting up there. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, Mr. Summers, I think, made that point that it will be sort of the senior on the whole body after this week because there's been a complete turnover now since he has held his seat as he continues on. The borough mayor, served 17 years in public service between starting on the Trapper Creek RSA, going to the Planning Commission, then the Assembly, and now as mayor. I have to say, Mike, before we move on to our last subject, I have never seen as much appreciation come from a community for a mayor. And I've been to a lot of canvas board and a lot of mayors bowing out at this point, but I have never seen what Mayor Halter received in appreciation from the community, and also Ms. Bovey. So,
Well, he's, having watched him, as you have and many other people have, over a number of years in all kinds of different circumstances, he has an incredible skill to do that middle ground, keep things in order,
yep.
make sure people have a chance to speak, weigh in when right. he needed to, but I'd agree. I think he's well-respected for his skills.
Yes, I think he represented the whole borough, and I think someone pointed that out, that any corner of the borough, Mayor Halter was there. I would encourage people to go to the borough's Facebook page. There was a three-minute video put together. It did a really good job of just some of the highlights of all the projects that came in under his tenure. Pretty amazing when you look back, Mike, so I encourage people to go look at that.
Okay, do that. Well, let's move on then to the City of Palmer. The City of Palmer had a meeting last week, and it will, of course, have a meeting next week. Now, there was an election, and let's walk through this for my own memory and also for listeners. Mayor Edna DeVries, still mayor of Palmer, will be leaving that position and moving over to become mayor at the borough. So timing is everything in the world, and particularly in the regard to how one goes from one to the other and makes that smooth. So on the 22nd of this month, she will resign her position as mayor. So that means then that at the next council meeting on the 23rd, if I've got that correctly, the deputy mayor of the City of Palmer will move over, literally, from his seat as a council member, even though he's got the title of deputy mayor, into the big seat of being the mayor. Now, there's a little bit of a dance that has to occur here because the deputy mayor, in doing that, he's going to be vacating essentially two seats, one his deputy mayor seat as well as a seat on the council. Now, there is a deputy mayor, Pamela, who is a...
Mellon.
Who is the deputy mayor. So she will move on up. And so then we have the question of, with musical chairs and seats, of how does this work, for example, let's say hypothetically down the road, because Mr. Carrington will be mayor until the election next fall when he would run for mayor if he wishes to continue, or others will run for that seat. So if some others run and he doesn't want to run, then presumably he could go back and be part of the council again. So you see where the complications begin to develop. So that's being worked out because the city of Palmer very nicely has a new city clerk, Shelley Atkinson, who's good and working with the attorney and all to make sure that the code is followed in what's done. But when all this is said here, the next real question is, when would likely a person be able to be appointed to the council to fill out the full council of seven members? Well, there's this, according to code, really the seat has to be vacated first, and then you have to have 14 days of announcement in the newspaper, for example, and that would bring, if you look at the calendar, you would bring the likelihood of the end of that period to be about New Year's Eve. So it's my sense, by looking at this and listening to people, that a new council member is likely to appear on the scene sometime in 2022. So what that means is for the rest of this year, when the City of Palmer City Council has in particular one major task, and that is to finalize the budget, we have six members on the council to vote. And of course, in the past, there has been some tendency to see that as a 3-3 split on many issues. Maybe it could continue. Okay, that's that part. Citizen lobbyist, is that clear enough? Do I have to? Any questions?
No, kudos for laying all that out. That's something that sounds very simple is pretty complex, and a 3-3 tie when you're going into the budget season, which is really arguably the most important thing the council does, is going to be a very interesting.
And of course, we have also something coming up on the 23rd, is the likelihood of a result from the investigation by the Palmer Police Department into the question of what happened to reveal the external attorney's report that had been delivered to the council, and then presumably by someone on the council released to social media. Well, that's what seems to be the case. So that'll appear as well. In addition, after two failed tries, the third try seemed to work, and there are recall petitions for three members of the council, members Valerius, Combs, and Daniels. And as of Friday, these were available. What happens is that someone who is designated picks up a set of three petitions and takes them out into the community in order to gather signatures. Now, you can have multiple, and I think there have been two sets picked up, multiple people who go out to solicit signatures. Now, there's some pretty strict requirements for those signatures. The total number, when all of the sets have been turned in and counted, have to be 169 registered voters. And the careful need here is to ensure, and that's why you can't just take a booklet and leave it someplace and have anybody walking by sign it, is that you want to make sure that if you're having somebody sign it, that they're a registered voter in the city of Palmer. And that'll be an interesting question. When those are turned in, then they are reviewed, and if certified, then we go to an election for recall. And so that also go ahead.
Is there a timeline, do you know, Mike, on the collection of those
ballots? Yes, there is. And my mind wants to say 60 days, but I'm going to defer that to another time. But to say there's a period of time that looks like it would, you know, depending how fast people are doing this and the certification happens, and we've got a couple of holidays thrown in, it's possible that it also will be 2022 before we get a definitive answer about, yes, the recall petitions have fulfilled the requirements, and there will be an election then set at a certain time. So 2022, the beginning of 2022, looks like it's going to be an interesting time for the city of Palmer. Any other questions about the recall process?
Has anybody estimated what the cost to the Palmer taxpayers will be to hold a special election? That can be the only question on the ballot, I'm assuming.
Well, yes, and I believe that's true. The questions will be three people, and they'll be individuals. But the question was asked at a council meeting, and I did not get a definitive. I did not hear a definitive answer. So I personally do not know. They may be working on that to see what it is. I believe, and here's where sometimes these things get further complicated, because there are varying processes that are used. For example, a recall election, say, for a state official, I believe requires some statement of cost to be there. But as far as we've been able to determine, that cost does not have to be known up front, so that people have a chance to do two things. One, see whether the cost is worth their signature for the purposes that the petition is being provided. So that may emerge. I'm suspecting that at the next city council meeting, someone will bring up the question of what's this going to cost should the petitioners prevail.
Well, I hope so, because in the name of transparency, I put in a public request for information to both the manager and the clerk this last weekend, I think, to ask what the cost of that was, because I have not heard that number either, and I think that's important for the city to know, and for those that tend to think things should be done conservatively should know before then. And I have not heard back yet, so I'm going to send them another email just to make sure they got my request. I sent them.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
Formally. And so maybe we'll have some answers before then. If not, hopefully Mr. Moosey will bring that up at the next council meeting so we all know.
Okay. So that's the story that I have. I'm sticking by it. That's what I know to this point. And, of course, these things change from time to time. So, we have something to look forward to. There'll be some activity. The budget thing, I think, is the most significant thing, really, because the city of Palmer needs to get that work done in the next 4 weeks. And they've been very, very proud to have done it in past years. This doesn't seem to be a particularly controversial budget. But when we get down to the final moments, you never quite can guess whether something would pop up that would be of interest. So.
Right. And, they have one new member that has no prior experience.
Right.
So that always, can take some time, too, to make sure people are up to speed with all the details. And they're still trying to finalize their hire of a new borough attorney. So lots going on, Mike.
Right. I think that is pretty much in progress, although there was a little kerfuffle there. In particular, because Jack Snodgrass, who was a former city attorney, 25 years, but no longer is practicing as a lawyer, brought up some concerns in terms of the process not following what was outlined in code. And that was sort of discounted, so we'll see how it plays. But in any case,
we'll be there.
We'll be there. Citizen lobbyists, thank you very much for doing all you do, watching, listening.
Bye.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Be safe out there.
Yep. Stay well.
All right. Bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests did not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.